Hello and welcome back to Series 4 of the Youth Trends podcast from VoxBurner. This week we're talking with Chester King, CEO of the British Esports Association. Ahead of his keynote at our Youth Marketing Strategy Festival YMS London, he shares why marketers are missing a trick if they're not embracing the esports industry. Hi, is that Chester?
It is. How are you?
Hey, Chester. Richard here. Yeah, really good. Thank you. And yourself?
Yeah, good.
Cool. So, Chester, it'd be great to kick off by hearing a little bit about yourself, your background, and also your role at the British Esports Association.
Okay. So, my name is Chester King. I'm 49. But more importantly, I have three children, a 19-year-old, 17-year-old, and a 2-year-old. And it was through my 19-year-old that I got heavily involved in esports about 5 years ago, and which I know we're going to talk about. But I work in sport. I worked at Wembley Stadium for 10 years. I'm involved in golf and tennis. I'm a member at Wimbledon, and I'm also involved in healthcare. So slightly unusual, kind of quite a big portfolio of businesses, but I'm very pro esports and I'm very pro sport.
And you mentioned, sorry, it was your son that got you interested into moving into this area. Is that right?
Yeah. So basically, being a parent of a child that was born in the year 2000, it was really interesting to see the increase in popularity in video gaming, but more importantly, in competitive video gaming, which is what esports is. It's organized competitive video gaming. And esports is always human versus human, as opposed to gaming, which can be against a computer. So I saw the benefits in playing, obviously in moderation, and more importantly, the community that one has playing esports. So it's an incredible activity that was very underestimated, and I was really intrigued by it, and I wanted to know more about it. And at the time in 2015, there wasn't a national body around about esports. So I went to the UK government to get authority from them to set it up as a not-for-profit. And you basically need the British government's authority to use the word British in your name of your organization. So it took me a few months to convince them that I was a good person to set this up and I could get a good group of people together to set up the national body for esports.
Awesome. And you mentioned, you know, it's in previous roles, you've had a key interest in sports. Were you a gamer sort of in your younger years, should we say, like Nintendo?
To be honest, not so much. And that does kind of freak people out, actually, that I wasn't a massive diehard gamer. But, you know, I'm involved in golf and I'm not a big golfer. So, but what I did see, as I say, there's some really great mental health benefits in gaming. And without getting too kind of granular, my son went through a few challenges in life, and actually, you know, when I was, you know, asleep or when I was not around, he could go online, and while he was playing esports, he could, you know, talk to his friends, not always about, or different people, not about, you know, what his experiences was or his issues, but it was just an on tap, you know, social resource. And unlike passive media, watching TV or being on social media, there's this huge socialization aspect when playing esports that I think a lot of parents, you know, for me, needed to understand that it just wasn't about kids wasting their time. You know, they were learning a lot of things, but also there was huge intrinsic rewards whilst they were playing these esports.
In terms of like social development and those type of areas you're talking about.
So when you play, you know, so there's a brilliant game called Rocket League, which is going to be used this year in Tokyo 2020, just before the Olympics. And that's 3v3. And, you know, you learn about strategy, and it's basically you're playing football, but instead of humans, you're playing in rocket-powered cars, and it's a real fun game. It's age-rated 3, and you're learning about strategy and communication, and you're learning, you know, a lot of tactics. But and so we've done a lot of work in alternative provision schools promoting the, you know, this game in particular, and it has helped people. You know, there's a lot of, unfortunately, in the UK, the number one cause of addiction is a lack of self-esteem. And if you've got children who might not be physically or emotionally capable of playing certain sport or being good at music or being in the theater, but actually if they're good at something, and gaming and esports is for some people a brilliant activity, it was kind of helping these children. And we run a national championships with the finals at Insomnia, which is the biggest gaming festival in the UK, where we basically crown you know, the British youth champion for a number of different titles. And actually, we're going to be going to Australia and Tokyo this year to compete, you know, Britain against other high schools around the world.
Fantastic. And how would you say that the esports community differs from other sport fan groups?
Well, I think the key thing is that it's online and it's on tap all the time. So, for example, you know, if you're playing cricket, you've got to get 21 of your mates around and to go out there. The great thing about esports is you can pick up pretty soon and you can communicate with your friends almost any time. And if they're not around, it's very easy for you to get other people. So there's this concept of just talking to people rather than being isolated. So last August, we helped the Royal Air Force set up their esports and gaming association. And the number one reason they chose esports was to help combat loneliness. Mm-hmm. So on these barracks and stations, in the old days, there was a lot of communal areas, and now people are living isolated. So what they wanted to do is build like a gaming center where, like a, you know, cyber cafe, where people could come together and game together as well as socializing. So, as I said, it's a very on tap community, and I think there's some really good mental health port cases from people that play esports.
And you mentioned that a couple of times, this idea that it's very much, you know, a community providing maybe people that either lonely or not as talented in other areas as a key outlet for other talents. Would you say that's one of the key roles that it plays in the lives of young people that come into contact with, you know, with esports?
Yeah, I think everyone's, and the reason why I mentioned I got these children is that, you know, everyone's challenged at the moment. And I think, you know, mental health is definitely something that everyone's been talking about, and it's fantastic to talk about it. But, you know, what activities can you actually do where you are socializing and talking to people? And I think if you look at Generation Z, you know, children born from 1996, you know, the problem is if they are watching less TV, their social media has unfortunately a big impact. If you're not actually talking to people, from our understanding, that is an issue. So I think it is with the increase and improvements in technology where computers can talk to each other a lot easier. I don't know if you know a platform called Discord. Don't know if you've heard of Discord.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So yeah, that's a really good thing, because then what that allows you to do is, we work with the NSPCC, that contact risk is a lot less in esports because you're only communicating with your mates while you're playing the game. So I think the community is a key thing in esports. You make your own friends with it. And of the different kind of 35, 40 different esports, each community is very focused on that particular game. So a lot of people, let's say, might only like League of Legends. They won't play Dota, but you know, you're investing in time to learn a skill. So it's a bit like learning to play golf. Golfers tend to stick with golfers, tennis players. So yeah, that's been a huge thing. The other thing is there's a career pathway and an education pathway. So we've just developed BTECs in esports with Pearson. You can now, I think, 4 or 5 universities in England, you can learn about esports. But those skills are transferable that you're learning about production, about business in esports. And there's a lot of jobs and careers in esports. So, you know, we've got 10 staff. As an industry globally, it's about $1 billion turnover. You know, video games on the whole is about 150 billion. So we're less than 1%, but a growing percent with all the activities that's happening.
Sure, look, 150 billion, that's like, you know, big number. And I guess the popularity for gaming tends to be underestimated for women. What do you feel that industry should be doing to give female gamers more of a voice to ensure that they feel welcome in the esports world and that, you know, that community is open to them as well?
Yeah, I'm just going to get specific here. So actually more women game, but more men play esports. So esports are games of skill, and gaming can be games that aren't games of skill. So a game like Candy Crush, so mm-hmm. More women play Candy Crush than men do, but more men play League of Legends or CSGO. So one thing that we're trying to do is to help diversity. We've got a Women in Esports campaign. What we've realized is when we were doing our schools championships is that we're having 50% representation by boys and girls who wanted to represent their school in these tournaments. But what's happening is the girls were coming to trial for a team and the boys were just more experienced. So they would say, well, I can't get in the team, so I'm not going to play. So we're actually this summer going to be doing some stuff in Nottingham with 8 primary schools, because at primary age, you play mixed sport together. So we need to get into the mindset that they're doing mixed esports together. So we're also, that's one thing. And then for people who are older, we're going to be creating a women's league to help, not to segregate, but just to help women get more experience and then hopefully improve their skill level or more experience than they, in these games, and then get them back into mixed gaming. So at an international level, all esports is fully inclusive. You have no restrictions. And you know, what's interesting is people who are maybe on the spectrum or may have some complex needs tend to be actually pretty good gamers. So what we don't want to do is say, well, actually there's a disabled tournament or there's a women-only tournament. That's not what we're about. What we want to do is give everyone an opportunity to represent themselves. And most of the esports are team esports. You know, it starts, there's certain games that are one versus one, but they're kind of the most common and most popular esports are five versus five. So that's League of Legends, Dota, CSGO, COD. You know, they're the biggest esports in the world and they're five versus five.
See. And brands that are looking to get involved with esports and tap into this, you know, this large, ever-growing, engaged community of young people, what advice would you give them? What do you think they need to be doing to understand this new community that's emerging?
Yeah, it does stagger me when it comes to brand engagement. You know, other countries have fully embraced it and doing it for years. And it's probably down to a lack of understanding. You know, as an adult, everyone knows the different genres of music, classic, hip-hop, rap, grime. It doesn't mean you listen to it, but you understand it. If you said to most adults, what is an FPS? What's a battle royale? What's a MOBA? They wouldn't have a clue. And I think I was at a really interesting dinner in December with some big brands, marketing heads of brands in the UK. And I'm not going to embarrass the person, but this person said, well, they shouldn't be playing esports. They should be reading a book at night. And everyone looked at them and went, you know, what are you talking about? Everyone is gaming. So why wouldn't you as a brand be associated with it? And this person said, well, it shows a lack of imagination when you're gaming. And everyone was kind of shocked, like, have you not played esports? Do you understand what you can do and how you've got full autonomy? And just, I mean, people were speechless that someone in such a senior position was saying, and unfortunately that person hadn't gaming, had very young children, so was totally oblivious to this world. So I think with brands, they just need to understand and engage, but there is a huge amount of fragmentation. Every game is different. It's a bit like saying, I'm going to sponsor sport. Well, are you going to sponsor cricket, tennis, rugby? What are you going to do? It is very fragmented. Having said that, each community is incredibly passionate. And the brands that I find amazing that aren't involved are things like, brands like, you know, Deliveroo or Just Eat or Uber Eats, because obviously people are gaming and they're staying at home because you have to be in front of a PC or a console. And then financial services. A lot of these games are free, but you buy in-game purchases. So why aren't there sort of some disruptor brands like Metro Bank or First Direct getting involved? And then you've got obvious things like chewing gum and clothing. But if you go globally, brands like Audi, Mercedes, you're obviously a lot of endemic brands as well. And then you've got traditional, you know, like Coke and Pepsi and that stuff. But globally, everyone has embraced esports, but the UK is definitely, I'd say, the worst in Europe without a shadow of doubt.
Do you feel, sorry, that there's a bit of stigma attached to it from their side? They're not really fully understanding, I guess, what we've just been discussing now, that they're sort of ignorant to it, would you say, or?
Yeah, I think there's an element of lack of awareness. And I think also there's a stereotype thing that they don't understand that there's like 30 or 40 different esports. So as I said, I sit on the Olympics esports and gaming liaison group. Yeah, and they're embracing esports, but they're not embracing the shooter games. And, you know, that's their view, and which is obviously fine. And it was quite funny. So 2 years ago, the president of the IOC gave a speech and he said, I have a red line over certain esports. So the 24-year-old gamer who was interviewing said after the speech, said, you know, can I just clarify something? You know, why do you say you have a red line over certain esports? And he said, well, I have a problem with video games that simulate death by you shooting someone. And this 24-year-old said, you know, with respect, sir, didn't you win a gold medal in fencing? Aren't you trying to simulate death by killing them? And there was this moment of silence and half the crowd who are esports people clapped and cheered like, yeah, what are you talking about? So what's a red line to a 65-year-old man is not a red line to a 24-year-old man. So I think there is a bit of lack of awareness. I think there's a bit of concern that they think all the games are shooter games and they're not. But you know, what you've got to respect is the Army and the RAF and the Navy have esports teams. The USA Armed Forces have esports teams. You know, they're recruiting people with cyber skills. They're recruiting people with dexterity. Their job is to protect people. So by you saying as a brand, oh, I have a problem with this, is slightly disrespectful. And then also, you know, if you look at brands from a movie point of view, who wouldn't, you know, which brands wouldn't love to be associated with the James Bond film, right? And James Bond is going around killing people. So I do find it slightly bemusing that they use video games as this kind of whitewash of, oh, well, we're not doing it, when millions and millions and millions of people are playing it. So I think once the generation of people from a sponsorship point of view, for example, my son will game people, and when he gets, let's say, in the position to make a decision about sponsorship budgets, gaming will definitely be up there, you know, when he gets older. So I think we're in this kind of digital disconnect at the moment. I didn't game with my parents. I didn't game with my son because of the generation thing, but my son definitely will. So I think that will change in time, where gaming will be part of your marketing budget.
And in terms of, I guess, you know, so we've got some brands, you know, listening right now. In fact, we've actually got, so we've got the CMO of Deliveroo at YMS. I know you referenced them as a brand that maybe should be getting involved. What advice would you give them? How could they get involved today?
Yeah, so I think what's fantastic about data in esports in the UK is trying to target specific areas and, you know, different, I mean, it does sound a bit odd, but there are different regions of the UK that are stronger in different games, and it's quite easy to track that. Yeah, what is your demographic? You know, what age are you trying to target? Because all video games are different age categories. And then, for example, you know, we've got, there's a university league that's been going for 8 years. 105 universities play every Wednesday. We're at a grammar school level. There's a whole load. So you can really segment what your strategy is. And I'll give you an example. So when the big finals are happening in Europe and around the world, people are staying at home or they're at home watching it. So things, you know, advertising around YouTube or Twitch is really important. So I think, one, it's probably getting good advice from people like us who actually know about esports. Yeah, there are a lot of people saying that they know about esports, but it's a very easy way. And to me, I'd add it as part of your marketing mix to look at supporting esports from a grassroots level, because, you know, as I said, the communities are very close. So brand loyalty is quite strong, but also it's very easy to target your demographic.
Chester, I know you're speaking at YMS this April, and it'd be great to hear from you what you feel the next 10 years looks like for youth marketing.
Yeah, so yeah, really looking forward to speaking, and thanks again for the invite. We're going to be kind of be doing a kind of a quite soft introduction to esports, and also going to be joined on stage by a professional esports athlete, which is, you know, great. Tobin is one of the UK's top sim racing guys. And yeah, so I think the next 10 years in the UK is going to be really interesting. So as I say, there's going to be a lot of future qualifications and education pathways in esports. So you're going to have people who, esports is just going to be a mainstream terminology. They will get qualifications in it. There'll be jobs in it. You'll be seeing more tournaments happening. We've just, 2 weekends ago, was the first home series of a team called the London Royal Ravens, which is the Call of Duty franchise for the UK, which was an amazing event in the Copper Box. So each year there'll be new teams arriving, which will have its own fans. And I think from a youth marketing point of view, I think more people now, in the old days, used to, you know, love and watch footballers and, you know, they were the heroes. It's now becoming streamers or esports players or YouTubers, obviously. So I think brands need to be fully aware of, you know, who influences in a good way children and who are the heroes. And, you know, there was a UK player called Wolfies. He's a Fortnite player. He came second in the Duos tournament last year. He won $1.1 million playing Fortnite in America. He's become a hero within Fortnite. You know, he is one of these people, a bit like Andy Murray was with tennis. So I think with brands, they've got to be fully aware of who are the new heroes going to be. How many 15-year-olds in the UK earned over $1 million last year?
Yeah.
And he's a super nice guy. You know, he's an A scholar student, very fit. You know, he bought his house for his mother. To me, as a brand, you should be doing stuff around him, because more kids probably follow him than they do a footballer from a football team, obviously, type of thing. So, and that's just one esport. So it happens to be Fortnite, which is obviously one of the biggest games in the world. 40 million people entered that tournament. And of the 30 million prize pool, $2 million went to UK players. So these are things that brands need to be fully aware of, which they're probably not even picking up on.
Thank you. And a bit about yourself before we wrap things up for today. It'd be great to hear, it sounds like you've had a colourful career so far. Any standout moments for you, whether it's in your current role or previous roles?
Yeah, I've been very lucky in my career, done some great things, ranging from working in Cuba in the 90s was pretty kind of exciting. Working in Libya with a bomb going off outside my window was interesting. I think one of the proudest moments, I think, was during the Rio Olympics, working with the British government, doing a two-day esports event in British House, having the best Smash Brothers play, you know, that was great. Mm. And then just on the fun side, I appeared in a couple of films, Kingsman films, which was a bit of fun. So, yeah, I've been very lucky, and my kind of main aim is we work in healthcare and we work in esports and just trying to give the youth, you know, making them happy and healthy, but also giving them some purpose. And I think, you know, there are some people that are concerned, is gaming a career option? And it definitely is a career option. So we just got to make sure that people feel good about themselves.
I think that word you mentioned, purpose, is like, it's quite poignant. It's like giving people a purpose is perhaps, you know, one of the most valuable things that you can maybe do. You're joining us at YMS, you mentioned a little while ago. What is it that you're looking forward to about attending our festival this April?
Yeah, so again, it's spreading the message about, I know it sounds a cliche, but you know, the youth is our future. But I think it's understanding how to market to them. And just, so my background is I did a degree in marketing and biomechanics. And in the old days, you used to talk about marketing and then digital marketing. And are you a digital marketer? Well, actually, no, I'm a marketer now. It covers everything. So I just want to spread the benefits of esports and activity. But more importantly, I think it's getting across to brands and to parents in particular, you know, to really engage and understand what games, you know, your children are playing. And you should have a go as well. It is a really fun activity to do. Some will go on to become professionals, but just as a day-to-day activity, I think it's pretty good for yourself and for your soul.
And Chester, dare I ask, I know you mentioned that you weren't a huge gamer in previous years. Any standout games for you personally that you'd like to reference or...
Yeah, I think if you get really granular and you look at all the research and stuff, every game, you know, has different skills. I'm very lucky we work with some of the biggest games, League of Legends, Overwatch and Rocket League. I'm obviously a big fan of Call of Duty just because it's, you know, it's part of pop culture in the UK. And I'm very excited about the new UK team, which is called the London Royal Ravens, that had their first weekend 2 weekends ago because all the players are British and Irish, and that's the first time there's an esports team of that. So yeah, so Call of Duty, I've grown up, and also for my son, that was his Star Wars. You know, for me, Star Wars was like a huge media moment of my life. For my son, Black Ops 3, when that came out in 2015, it did $500 million opening weekend, I think is significant. And again, you know, the games industry is worth more than the music, film and TV industry put together.
Thank you. And Chester, one final question before we finish off. As we enter a new decade, how do you think that the 2020s are going to compare to the 2010s in youth marketing specifically?
I think it's going to be a lot more targeted and trackable. And I think, you know, the old days of selling, let's say, print media, where you never knew how many copies you sold or how many people read it, I think there'll be a lot more integrity. And I think it's going to be a really good thing from a marketing point of view about data, about how you can identify responses and the trackability of everything. So I think technology has been changing rapidly. I think there will be quite a big push on youth marketing around age verification. So we're going to be introducing some software which will help us to make sure that children play appropriate games and they play with children of appropriate age. So that I think will be a big thing around regulation in a good way. And I think it's really brilliant that the government are bringing in these Ofcom changes to regulate, you know, cyberbullying and toxicity on social media and media platforms. So I think I'm hoping with some stability of the next 4 years of government that there'll be some more laws passed, which will actually help, I think, with brands being able to be very direct in their offering, but also accountable.
Great. Chester, thank you very much for that. Very insightful. Thank you.
thank you to Chester for joining us this week. And to hear more from Chester and 150 other marketing industry leaders, including Instagram, YouTube, Uber and more, join us this April at YMS London. Check out voxburner.com for more details and don't forget to use the code PODCAST10 for your exclusive discount. Thanks for listening. Have a great week and we'll see you back here next Monday for some more youth trends from Voxburner.